Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is part two of today's discussion with Steve Mister, who's president and CEO of the Council for Responsible Nutrition, which is a trade organization of responsible supplement makers. They banded together to get out the truth and scientific information about supplements. So, Steve, obviously big challenge to the supplement industry. Now there are calls for regulation. They claim that the supplement industry is a free fire zone, no regulations. That's why situations like this arise, where unscrupulous companies can market worthless powder to consumers, charging big bucks. Consumers are being duped. That's the message that's being broadcast through the media. How do we push back against that?
Well, you know, the claim that that supplements are not regulated, you and I know, is absolutely untrue. The supplement industry is extremely regulated by FDA, and particularly with regard to the manufacturing. As I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, the FDA does not pre-approve our products. They do not get to pass judgment on the efficacy of whether a particular ingredient works or not. But what the FDA does have authority to do is oversee the way the products are manufactured. And they, as we've talked about, they do conduct inspections. They are in these facilities on a regular basis. They review the labeling to make sure that the ingredients are listed the way they're supposed to be listed on the labeling, that they follow their supplement facts requirements for how they order the label. So the industry is regulated, and we need to do an even better job of getting that message out now that the industry is under attack.
And what about self-regulation? Because I think that various companies adopt quality standards as part of, you know, just maintaining a good reputation, and as a business practice, as a way of distinguishing themselves among other companies. What are some of the levels of self-regulation or self-validation that some of the companies undertake?
Well, of course, all companies are required to follow the good manufacturing practice regulations. But as you say, some companies bring in a third party, an outside independent group, to audit their facilities, to test their products. And so you have the added assurance that a third party has signed off on the product as well and given it a blessing. So consumers can look for these seals on the product. The United States Pharmacopeia has a USP verified seal that some companies choose to use.
I actually heard a report from AP. They quoted the figure that only 1% of companies sign up for that. Is that a gross underestimate?
You know, I think it depends on how you count the industry. I will say that they are right that only a small minority of companies choose to use USP.
Mm-hmm.
There are other seals out there, like NSF International. I think Underwriters Laboratories, the same company that looks at your electric products and makes sure that they're safe. They also have a review process and a seal consumers can use. So, you know, one thing that consumers can do if they want to be sure that somebody else has signed off on the products is to look for these third-party seals. That doesn't mean that companies who don't have the seal are not following high-quality controls, but it means that the ones that do have that seal have had a third party come in and look over their shoulder.
Okay, so, you know, one of the contentions of some of the more aggressive pro-regulatory folks in Congress who are leading the charge, like Dick Durbin, who is very much someone who wants to bring the supplement industry under the heel of the federal regulators, the FDA in particular, they have proposed that we safeguard the American public because the supplements, you know, potentially hazardous. We'll address that issue in a moment. That we have a pre-approval for supplements like drugs. You know, like to get a drug on the market is a big deal in this country. You have to go through lots of testing
and
make sure.
Very expensive.
Right. So
very expensive.
So what's the argument against doing it? Because they act like this just makes perfect sense, and these are bioactive substances, and they have health effects, and therefore each company, when they come up with a new supplement, they should propose it to the FDA. They should submit reams of data showing that the supplement is safe and effective. Maybe the FDA will do some additional studies, and then, you know, months or years down the line, we'll get an approval. Good idea? Bad idea?
Well, we think it's a bad idea to try to regulate dietary supplements the way you would pharmaceuticals. You know, first of all, I think you have to step back and think about pharmaceuticals in this country and the way they're regulated. Any number of them get on the market and then have to subsequently be withdrawn because we find out that they have adverse events that may not have shown up in the testing. So, you know, having that drug approval process, of course, is no 100% guarantee of safety anyway. But then I think we have to ask ourselves, is it the right form of regulation for products that are not these unique chemical compounds that are created in a lab? These are natural products. These are vitamins and minerals and herbs, and they don't have the kinds of side effects and adverse events that you see from pharmaceuticals. And so to subject them to that kind of regulation is completely unnecessary. And then on top of all of that, as we were just talking about, the expense of bringing a pharmaceutical to market is just astronomical to do that level of testing.
We're talking hundreds, not just tens of millions, but sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, that's right. And then, you know, the payoff for a drug company is at the end of that process, they have complete exclusivity over the patent and the use of that drug, and they get to remake their money back. When it comes to dietary supplements, because of the nature of the ingredients, we don't have that kind of patent protection. There's no exclusivity for the intellectual property. If we find out that vitamin D helps to keep people healthy longer, anybody who has vitamin D can use that claim. So there is no way for us to be under that kind of a regulatory scheme and ever hope to make back our money because we don't have the protections intellectually around the ingredients. So, you know, I think if we were to move in that direction, it would certainly spell doom for the industry.
So what are trade associations like you do? You know, I envision, you calling, your colleagues in the supplement industry and saying, hey, you know, we got to get on the stick and we got to do some, you know, this is a big disinformation campaign. We've got to push back with some positive information of our own. Is that forthcoming? I mean, I'm doing the best I can as a solo health journalist to get the word out, interviewing people like you and Mark Blumenthal. But what's the industry going to do? Is there a concerted strategy?
And we do appreciate the work that you do and other people in the industry who want to spread that message about the value of supplements. But yes, we spend a lot of time doing proactive work to try to educate consumers on why they should use supplements, how to use them appropriately. Why they don't get all of the things that they need from their diets alone. It would be nice if we all ate perfectly healthy diets, but we don't. And so we do spend a lot of time proactively trying to communicate that message to consumers. And then, you know, even working not only with our friends on Capitol Hill, but even with our critics on Capitol Hill to help them to understand that that these products are useful and that consumers want them. And that there is appropriate regulation around them. So we communicate not only with our friends, but even with our enemies.
Right. And that brings up the issue of are you messaging to the Attorney General of the state of New York? Because, look, when the government comes knocking, and particularly in this kind of precipitous way, this is like sort of a Pearl Harbor attack, not without any forewarning, without any notification, sort of a blitzkrieg attack. How are you going to provide a corrective? Is it going to have to be through some sort of legal pushback? Because I've actually seen people on Facebook writing, well, you know, these companies should sue the Attorney General. Well, that's easier said than done. He's the Attorney General. He's got the resources of the entire state of New York at his disposal.
Well, right now I think our communications are through the public airwaves and through the media because that seems to be the only way the Attorney General is listening to us. He's not returning phone calls, and he's not giving out that report, which is why we keep pushing that hashtag, release the report, because we want him to hear from consumers that they want him to be as transparent as he is asking the industry to be.
Well, we'll get it out there. We certainly will get it out there. And there needs to be, petition effort on the part of, at the very least, citizens of the state of New York, because he's an elected official. And, you know, elected officials like to do, they like to do these kinds of things. They like to expose corruption on Wall Street, find that a product is faulty and take it off the market, because that, earns some headlines. And then the next time at the ballot box, the voters remember, but many voters in New York are supplement users, and they may remember this sad episode next time he comes up for re-election.
That's right, and so that's why they should be writing to the Attorney General, calling his office, and insisting that he provide the background materials to the companies involved so that they can evaluate it. That is the direction that we're moving with the New York Attorney General, is to get him to be transparent with us and get him to release this study so that we can look at it.
So, what are some of the ways that consumers can be discerning consumers when it comes to supplements? I mean, we can't use the price point as a criterion for supplement quality, because sometimes decent supplements are inexpensive supplements. How does the consumer make a choice among all these alternatives?
Sure. I think there are a number of things that consumers can do to protect themselves, because they have to be savvy about what they buy. Now, as you talk about the price point, yes, there are very good quality supplements that are sold at a variety of price points. But, occasionally you will see things that are so deeply discounted that you should ask yourself, how could they possibly make these products for $1.99, $2.99? So I think that's one way consumers protect themselves. Certainly another thing is to look for these third-party seals that we've talked about. Third-party seals are another way that consumers can be sure that they're purchasing quality products. As we've said, they're not the only way to be sure you're purchasing quality products, but it is one way. And then also look at the label. Who are you buying this product from? If you're buying it from a major retailer or from a major brand that you know and trust and that you've used, then that's another sign that you're getting a better product. If you're buying from a website that you've never heard of the company and you can't find a physical address for it, and it looks like all you have is a website and maybe a P.O. box, that should give consumers reason for pause. And then the last thing is to look at the kinds of claims that are being made for the product. You and I know that supplements are not allowed to treat diseases.
Right.
So if the supplement company is making claims that they can treat diabetes or cancer or Alzheimer's or something like that, you got to know that if they're willing to bend the rules on the claims, you should question whether they're bending the rules in other ways too.
So are you, your trade association, are you willing to chastise some of the bad players in this industry? Because they all give us a bad name. I mean, if there's, something comes to your attention and somebody's making, say, a male potency product that's spiked with Viagra, does your trade association take a position on those kinds of products?
Absolutely. We will call those companies out. We have a section on our website where we post all of FDA's warning letters to dietary supplement companies. You can search that website by brand name, by company name. And again, that is not the sole way to make your decisions on supplements. Even a good company can get a warning letter. But look at the nature of the warning letter. How egregious were the violations? Did the company try to fix it quickly? So that's one way we do it, is by posting those warning letters so that consumers can see them. We also have a program with a Better Business Bureau that looks at the claims for these products. And we will call out companies that we think are making claims that are simply too good to be true.
And that can certainly be a problem because, as with any industry, there are players who, play by the rules, and then there are others who cut corners or make outrageous claims. Explain a little bit, this whole thing of, we sometimes in describing our supplements, we're in a peculiar position in the supplement industry. We may know, for example, and I can say this, I'm a physician, is that if I have a patient who has a disease, a brain disorder, I'm going to use certain supplements that have known cognitive benefits. However, if I were to, say, market my own supplement that is designed to treat Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, or multiple sclerosis, I would be immediately busted because you can't do that. The rules state that you have to make what are called structure-function claims. So that's why sometimes you see the circuitous language in advertisement and on supplement labels that supports brain health, you know, or something like that.
That's correct. You know, we always encourage consumers to talk to their healthcare providers about the supplement regimens that they're on and what is right for them. And sometimes doctors, as you say, will use supplements for indications that we couldn't put on the label. But the law is pretty clear. You're not allowed to promote on your label or in your advertising that you treat, cure, or mitigate a disease. And so if companies are doing that, you know, they are running afoul of the FDA regulations.
Well, they're part of the supplement industry. I don't know if you adhere to this viewpoint. They're concerned about the abrogation of free speech that is entailed with the current law, which is called DSHEA, the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act of whatever it was, 1996 or whatever that year
94.
Was.
94. Actually, we just celebrated the 20th anniversary last year of
that law. Oh, my goodness. Time flies because I remember when it was enacted. Yeah, I remember actually.
It's been around 20 years, and you know that was part of the grand bargain that the industry and Congress came to, where industry agreed that it would give up trying to make disease claims for these products in return for many of the other things that the industry was able to have in the legislation. So, you know, we agreed to those rules, and we need to live by them. And you know, one of those is that we will not advertise our products to treat diseases. And as I said, it's one thing if your doctor is recommending that you take a supplement because they have reviewed the medical evidence and they believe that it will help you manage your disease. But that does not mean that the product can advertise itself that way.
Exactly. And that's where a lot of products get into trouble because they advertise that they can cure cancer or make outlandish claims. When the science is there, I think the science is discoverable. It's just that you can't put it on a label or you can't advertise your product using disease terms. So that's why we get this kind of labeling. All right. So what's today's intelligent medicine call to action? What would you like to see consumers do in relationship to this situation? And how can they find out more about CRN?
Well, I think, you know, going to our website is the best way to learn more about what we do. And as you indicated earlier, it's www.crnusa.org. And there are some very helpful materials there right now with regard to this New York situation. There will be questions and answers. There will be key quotes up that consumers can use to help them understand what's going on. But, you know, I think the most important thing that consumers can do right now is to put pressure on the New York Attorney General to be transparent in his findings. Again, it's hashtag release the report. If you're on Twitter, you can write to the Attorney General's office. You can send them an email, get their email address off of the Attorney General's website, and demand that the Attorney General provide the industry with the background materials on how they did this operation.
I think that Attorney General Schneiderman is in for a big surprise because I think he thought he was going to be hailed as a hero by the citizens of New York, and this is going to gain him a lot of political traction. I think he's going to be surprised at the vociferousness of the response of people who like supplements in the state of New York, of which there are tens of millions, and this is a state where it's a progressive state. It's a state where a lot of people are enlightened. And a lot of people, there's a great grand tradition, particularly in the New York City area, of people listening to shows like mine, starting with Carlton Fredericks back in the 1940s.
And there's a lot at stake here, so it is important that people register their concerns.
And I think he's going to see a lot of blowback. And I think, you know, in a week or two, he may rue the day that he decided to get an evolutionary biologist who specializes in testing DNA in dinosaurs and lizards to undertake testing on nutritional supplements because he's waded into a controversy that he knows very, very little about. And I think there's going to be some blowback. So let's storm the bastions of government in the state of New York. I'm shouting out to all my New York peeps to get into the campaign. Hashtag release the report. And I want to thank you, Steve Mister, for your determined efforts to support the truth, because I really believe that truth is on our side in this matter, and that hopefully we'll get enough media exposure to be able to counteract this poisoning of the well about supplements.
It's been a real pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot. Steve Mister, who is the president and CEO of the Council for Responsible Nutrition, their website, crnusa.org. Check it out. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.